Bad.
Man, thank God for your mama homeschooling. Thank God for that.
That's right.
Pastor, she's mean. You don't understand what she's like, what it's like having. Look here, my principal had a boat oar. And I spent as much time in his office as I did the classroom, and I never did walk away going, he's sweet. I never thought he was sweet. But he was not, look at me, Caitlin. He was not there to be sweet. That wasn't his job. His job wasn't to be sweet. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be grumpy. But thank God for your mama taking her time teaching you school. And if you were my kids and I came home and you gave my wife a fit, I would beat the poop out of you. Amen. Say amen right there, honey. Say amen right there. I'd beat you half to death. That's just me. If we make it this far and the Lord doesn't return, when you go leave this building tonight and you get in your vehicle to go home, you'll sit in that vehicle and you won't ask the Lord to help. You'll jump right in that vehicle and sitting in that seat, it will not even cross your mind to go, I need to ask the Lord to help me get in this car. As you get to your home tonight and you open the door and you walk into the living room or whatever room it is you walk into, you'll not enter that room and ask the Lord to give you strength to enter into that room. You'll just enter into that room. It would be absurd to walk in the room and ask the Lord, God, strengthen me to be in this room. You're already in the room. Wouldn't it be crazy to ask for God to do something that God's already done? Wouldn't it be crazy to ask God for something like that? Wouldn't it be crazy to ask God for something that's not scriptural or biblical? Wouldn't it be crazy, Caitlin and Kimberly, wouldn't it be crazy to ask God to get you into this building while you're standing in this building? That'd be kind of nuts, wouldn't it? I thought maybe one of you, since you know so much, would have at least tried to walk out the door and come back in, but... And I'm not even going to look at you, but I know what just went through your mind. I thought about that. Well, you wasn't smart enough to do it. Go with me, if you will, to verse 6 in Psalms 106. Verse 6 says this. We have sinned with our fathers. That ties in somewhat to what I said last week. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness, and he saved them from the hand of him that hated them and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed, this is my verse, Then believed they his words, they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works, they waited not for his counsel. Boy, if that don't sound like many of us, the Bible says in verse 12, then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. Do you believe in the death of Jesus Christ? You believe that? If I was to ask you this evening, why do you believe in the death of Jesus Christ? Most people would simply answer, because the Bible says so. But I say not only the Bible says so, but the Spirit itself says so. Amen. So you have two witnesses. You have the Word and you have the Spirit for sure that says that Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. Let's look at the Holy Scriptures in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, look at what your Bible said, Christ died for us. Is that true or is that a lie?
True.
That's right. This is very clear that Jesus Christ died. There's no doubt. There's no question of what any of that means. We know exactly what that means. That means that Jesus died for us. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand thoroughly what that means. Thank God for that. Now look at Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified. Look at the first word, knowing. I don't want to get off into that tonight, but that's a key to the Spirit-filled life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Is this any less clear than Romans 5:8 when it says that Christ died for us? Is that any less clear? I'm going to read it again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Do you understand that? Is that clear? Give me some feedback. That the body of sin might be destroyed. Is that clear? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Anybody not understand that? That's perfectly clear, isn't it? It's just as clear as Romans 5:8 that God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. They're equally clear. Amen. There's no questions, there's no doubt, there's no problem. I don't have anything in my mind just causing any problems or any doubts. They're equally and abundantly clear, those verses are. Now look with me in Romans 6, verse 7. It says, verse 7 and 8, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Anybody got a problem with that? Anybody not understand that? That's perfectly clear. That's abundantly clear. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Glory to God. No questions, huh? That's clear. I mean, is anybody confused with any of that? If Eric and Hannah were to come to church tonight together, and they did, so we can say Eric and Hannah came to church together tonight. You can also say it like this. Hannah and Eric came to church together tonight. Eric and Hannah came to church. Doesn't matter how you say it, it means the same exact thing. Michael and Tanya came to church together tonight. Tanya and Michael came together to church tonight. Doesn't matter how you say it, it's the same thing. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, David Vernon died on the cross. When David Vernon died on the cross, Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. Doesn't matter how you say it, it's the same thing. It's the same exact thing, no matter how you say it. But when Jesus died, listen to what Apostle Paul said. When Jesus died, I died. Every one of us ought to take a second and say, when Jesus died, I died. Carl died. Stephanie died. Zach died. Hey, when Jesus died, I died. You say, how so? I died with him. I died with him, and he died with me. We died together. Doesn't matter how you say it, you know what it means? It means you're dead. Doesn't matter how you say it, it's dead. That's what it ends up being. Both of them died. Amen. And it was the same time. Listen, it was the same time on the same cross. Let me ask you a question. Who else was at Calvary while Jesus was hanging there on that center cross? Was there anybody else on Golgotha that day hanging on a cross? Who was on his right hand? Who was on his left hand? Did they die on the cross? Did those malefactors die on that cross? Absolutely. How do you know? How do you know they died? Huh? The Bible says so. The Bible says. What else do you need? Do you need some person to say it? If you do, you're bamboozled, buddy. I'll tell you one thing. If you need anything more than the Word of God, you're in trouble. Amen. Hey, the Word of God is the only thing we need. We don't need another human being. You've got the Spirit of God and you've got the Word of God, and that is enough. Amen. And forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You know what them thieves done? They died at the same time that Jesus did, and they died just like Jesus did. They died on the cross, but you know what they didn't do? They didn't die on the same cross. I want you to watch this now. There was one of them malefactors on his side that died on the same cross that Jesus died on and on his own cross at the same time. That man was hanging on two crosses at one time. Praise God. That malefactor that Jesus turned to and said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," that old boy, he died on two crosses that day at the same time. And one of them crosses, he was there with me. That's right. It's wonderful. Here's the problem. People go, "I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe Jesus." And they want to argue. Listen, nobody in here is arguing with me, but please look at me in my God-given eyeballs. It doesn't matter if you believe it or not. He still died. It doesn't matter what people believe. Here's all I'm trying to say. Jesus died on the cross is a fact. It is a proven, known fact that Jesus, there ain't nothing you can do about it. You know what else is a fact? You died on that cross. That's a fact. There's nothing anybody can do about that. You can't undo that. That's a done deal. So what are you saying, preacher? Hey, look at me. You're done. You're dead. You're counted out. It's over. Amen. You're a dead man. That's all that means. And that is a fact. Be good for us to learn that.
That's right.
How you feel? Brother Sammy, Brother Zach made that statement. Brother Sammy said, "If I went by my feelings, I'd be saved about 50% of the time." Now, Brother Sammy was more spiritual than me. If I went by my feelings, I'd be saved about 10% of the time.
But it doesn't matter how you feel.
I like that old song that McCamey sung, "Do You Know How It Feels?" I kind of like it because I do know how it feels, but it doesn't matter how you feel.
Right.
If you feel good, it doesn't change the facts. Right. If you feel bad, it doesn't change the facts. The facts remain the same. Hey, my son says, facts don't care about feelings. I said, it's pretty good. Old Jake, facts don't care about feelings. The Bible says Christ died for us and we were crucified together with him. That's what your Bible says. Here's the problem in most lives. Most people really don't believe he died. Most people just don't believe he died. And there's others that have never got a hold of the fact. They believe he died, but they just have never got a hold of the fact that they died with him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. That fits most of the people inside of this building. You believe Jesus died, but you just ain't quite got a hold of the fact that you died with him. Has no bearing on your salvation. Has a lot of bearing on your walk with God. Has no bearing whatsoever on you being saved, but it has a whole lot to do with walking in the Spirit, a Spirit-filled life. Has nothing to do with being saved, but it has a whole lot to do. Thank God, I've been trying to dodge this. But it has a whole lot to do with your deadness. Hey, Pastor, I'm not the shouting kind. No, you're not the believing kind. Because if you ever get a hold of what happened on Calvary, you're going to shout, bless God, whether you feel like it or not.
That's right.
You're going to shout whether you're the shouting kind or not. What did Psalms 106 verse 12 say? Then believe they his word. What happened when they believed his word? I tell you what happened. They began to see his praise. They began to praise God. You know what will happen when you start believing this? You'll just start praising God. Praise will break out on you. Preacher, I'm not that kind. No, you're not the believing kind. If you get a hold of this, you'll praise him.
Right.
You'll praise him. Yeah, man, you'll stop asking God for so much and just start praising him for what he's done.
Right.
Yeah.
These people all the time asking God for stuff, asking. If you ain't asking, you ain't praying. Let me tell you something. I believe what we need to do is pray and ask, but we ought to spend a lot more time thanking him for what he has done. And if we believe what he's done, we would praise him.
That's right.
If we believe what happened, if we really get a hold of it, It'll destroy that deadness. It'll give you some life. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about joy. Yes, you can't help it. Just like when a kid gets a real good whipping. And they don't want to go back into church in front of their peers because they can't help it. If you get a hold of the things of God, you'll get the can't help it.
That's right.
Yeah, that's just all there is. It's just a fact. You'll get the can't help it. You're not bigger than God, and you'll never be able to contain what all God's done for you. It'll bust out on you, buddy. It'll bust out on you. I know people that's meek and quiet that ain't the shouting kind. It bust out on them, too. It sure does. It'll bust out on you. That stinking, cussed unbelief and that old cussed pride, it just won't let you let go sometimes.
Right.
Amen. But if you'll bury yourself in this book, praise God, let this word come alive in you, it'll bust out on you. Bust out on you.
Amen.
You'll make a fool out yourself. Man, you'll make a fool out of your flesh. I believe God's pleased with making a fool out of our flesh.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. I believe God gets the glory out of your flesh being abased. Believe that.
Amen.
When you really believe that, you're going to find great peace. You'll find great joy. And you'll find great deliverance to the point that you will not ask for deliverance, but you'll praise him for the deliverance.
right. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling. Here's what I'm praying. I'm praying God bust you upside the head and get you to believe some of them scriptures one day. Because God ain't going to deliver you. He already has.
Right.
You better watch out, Miss Stephanie. I got my running shoes on tonight. I feel like running. He's already delivered us. Hey, you know why people ain't got victory in Jesus? Just because they won't appropriate that victory. Let me ask you something. Is God short on victory? Is the Lord short on victory? Jesus died on the cross. Was He victorious over death, hell, and the grave? That's all the victory we ever need. He's not going to jump through another hoop for me and you. He's done conquered death, hell, and the grave. He's victorious. Jesus Christ is victory. That's who. That's what our victory is. Our victory is Jesus Christ. What more victory do we need than Jesus? The reason we ain't got no victory is because we just don't appropriate the victory that God's already given us. We don't appropriate the deliverance that God has already. That's why we struggle for years after we've been saved by the grace of God. That's why we still struggle with them same sins, because we will not believe the deliverance of God. Look at me. God's not going to give anybody any special power to overcome anything. God will not give you any kind of special power to ever overcome any kind of sin. You know why, Brother Zach? Because He's already given us all the power that we need on Calvary. That's all the power we need. That's what I'm saying, Miss Debbie. We get a hold of what it really happened on Calvary. Victory in Jesus. Joy unspeakable. Peace like a river. And it'll cause you to shout a little bit. It'll stir your soul. I mean, you'll whoopee. That's what your Bible said. When they believed His words, they praised Him. You don't know why people ain't praising Him? Come on now. Help me out. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Doesn't matter. Hey. Doesn't matter what we think, doesn't matter how we feel, doesn't matter how we believe, doesn't matter all that kind of stuff. What matters is what the Bible said. And the Bible said when they believed His word, praise broke out. They began to sing His praise. That's what will happen, ladies and gentlemen, in your life when you believe His word. His word said He died for us and we died with Him. Amen. That's the power. Death is the power to deliver you from sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You don't need any more power. You've already got the power of death. That's all the power you need.
Amen.
Glory to God.
That's right.
Preacher, I ain't got a problem believing. Some people may not have a problem believing this, and they're still struggling with sin. Well, their problem is they just never have seen this and never did understand this. But thank God we got a little old place on the side of the road where we can learn this.
That's good.
And man, we can walk away from here going, you know what? I've never seen it quite like that. Hey man, I can approach this thing a whole different way now. I can walk in that light. It's wonderful. It's sound doctrine too. Amen. It's theologically correct and it's pretty sound doctrine. Pretty good. Let's go back to Calvary. Thief is there on his right hand. The other thief is there on his left hand. And there they died. Let me ask you a question. When was you crucified? Listen to that question. Based on what I'm trying to go through over here in the book of Romans. When was you crucified? Don't answer it. When was you crucified? You was crucified when Jesus was crucified. You weren't crucified the day you got saved. Oh no. It don't work. You was crucified in Him. Do you remember what we went through last week over in Hebrews chapter 7? Do you remember Levi paying him tithes? You remember him going over there paying Melchizedek them tithe offerings? You remember that? Well, he wasn't even born yet. He wasn't even born. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 7, he was still in the loins of his father. You say, well, how did he pay tithes? Because Abraham did. He paid them in Abraham. When Abraham paid them, Levi paid them. When Jesus died, you died. That's when you died. Glory to God. Man, this stuff helps me, if it don't help nobody else. Every bit of that stuff in Hebrews 7 was all pointing to us being crucified with Christ because we were in the loins of Jesus Christ. We were in the loins. We're His children. We were in His loins. We died with Him. He that is dead is freed from sin. Hey, church, glory to God, we're free from sin. Man, we ought to rejoice in it. We're free from sin. Sin's no longer got a hold of us. Praise God, the chains has been broke. How, preacher? Because of death, I'm dead to sin. That's the way out of sin. That's the way to walk in the Spirit. That's the normal Christian life, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just a living dead man. Amen. All that stuff about Abraham and Levi and Melchizedek and all that stuff. And that's just one instance. You go all through that Old Testament. There's all kind of stuff pointing to that. And then you get down there to Jesus. And the Bible, you know, tells us that we died in Him. And you say, preacher, how do you know this? Listen, I'm not smart. Man, I'll tell you how I know it. The Bible says so. The Bible's the one that's smart. The Bible's the one that told me. What's the Bible? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I said it a while ago. You've died. You're dead. You are done with. That self, and I speak this stuff because of me. I know me. But that self that you loathe, that self that you so despise. Remember we was talking the other week and we said, man, we got saved. We was excited, wanting to live for God. And it didn't take long. We found out we had another problem. That's that undesirable self that we run into somewhere down the road right after being saved. Amen. That old man, I'm telling you, he wants to get back up and he wants to smack us in the face. You know where that old man is? Do you know where that man that we loathe is? He's on the cross with Jesus Christ. That's where he is. He's been crucified. Let's go resurrect that sucker. Let's just leave him alone. Let's leave him over our dead. And let's start anew with that second man. Let's start new in Jesus Christ and live. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hey, look at me. That's all the world has to offer. Steal, kill, and destroy.
Yeah.
It'll steal everything that's valuable to you. It'll strip you of everything that's worth anything. That's what the world's good for.
Yeah.
Boy, it's a lot of pleasure in that sin, ain't they? A lot of pleasure in sin. It's going to steal everything that's worth anything. These little boys and these little girls getting together and hooking up. Man, it's good. Let me tell you something. There's a moral value at stake. Mm-hmm. There's moral authority at stake. And if you think that that little rendezvous is worth your moral authority, you're a blasted fool. So, preacher, why do you say that? Because I've got children. And I pity my own children. Because one of these days they might be man enough to take one of them girls by the hand and marry that girl. And if my son ever tries to stand up and tell my daughter-in-law right from wrong, she'll laugh in his face. He's lost that moral authority. I pity people for that. God can restore these things. God can restore some stuff back in our lives. And man, we can gain some confidence back in each other. Thank God through Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it comes, these little thrills and frills, they come with a cost, buddy. It's going to cost you.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
The wages of sin is death, sure enough. But before you die, there's a high price to pay on the way to the graveyard. There's a lot of baggage, and there's a lot of weight, and there's a lot of scars, and there's a lot of bad memories. There's a lot of negativity in your life that you should never have to carry to that grave. I tell you what, that pleasure in sin was sure pile ammonia. It wouldn't do no good for me to stand up here and talk about the scars and the memories and the baggage that's in my life because of sin. Wouldn't do a bit of good, I don't believe. But I tell you, the Bible says the thief came not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what that sucker does.
Pride.
I've seen more lives destroyed than I ever care to even think about. You look at people that you love. You look at people that you don't even know. I mean, some of these people I don't even know. And my heart gets ripped out of me. I see some of these old girls on the streets and some of them old boys on the streets. And I just think about boy sin. Might have been cool back when they was in high school. But it's not cool living out there on the streets on these 35 degree nights. That's not cool, man. There ain't no peers piling around and going, man, that's cool, that sucker. He's got it going on. No, their lives are destroyed, Brother Zach. Just go to your hospitals anywhere in the stinking country. Get out of your car and walk around. Just walk around. Don't go in the hospital. Just walk around the hospital property and you tell me how many destroyed lives you see just hanging out around them emergency rooms. And dope heads always hanging around outside of them emergency rooms. That's not no way to live. And it sure ain't no way to die. And after he destroys them lives, all he wants to do is take them lives. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. And that's that spirit-filled life. That's why Jesus came. That was part of that. That was part of that purpose of God, that fulfillment of God's purpose. Jesus came that purpose might be turned around and God might be glorified and honored and lived forward. Praise God. That same person that you loathe is on the cross. He died on the cross too. I'll get somewhere. Romans 6:7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you are saved by the grace of God, that is your gospel. If you're saved by the grace of God, it is the gospel in your life that you are freed from sin. Sin does not have dominion over you. Don't ask me to pray for you and your sin. Don't ask me to pray for you and your sin. Because here's what's in the back of my mind. Why don't you just believe the Bible? Because if I go to praying for you and your sin, I'm probably going to grieve the Holy Ghost and probably going to go against the Word of God. I just soon not do it, Brother Zach, because what we ought to do is just believe the Bible. You don't have to do a whole lot of praying about it. What you can do is believe the Bible and thank God for the deliverance.
Right.
You've already been delivered. Delivered through death. You don't need me to pray about it. You just need to believe that. You need to believe that. If you believe that, boy, it'll help you walk different. Amen. It'll help you live different. Many times prior to salvation, men try to save themselves. They read the Bible. Say, preacher, did you do any of this? I did. I've done every bit of this. I've done every bit of this stuff wrong. I've done it all. Read their Bible. They pray. They go to church. They give alms. They help their neighbor. And without Jesus Christ, they'll die and go to hell. But that old boy, man, I'm telling you, I've seen some in the last year, 2 years. I've seen some. They've worked. They've strove. They tried to pick their Bible up and read it. It was a dead letter. It became a misery to read. They tried to pray. Couldn't be faithful at praying. They did pretty good at giving. They never did hold out on the giving. That's pretty good. They came through on that one. They would have helped their neighbor. They done everything they could to be a good neighbor. That's pretty good. One day they were sitting somewhere, standing somewhere, walking somewhere, riding somewhere. They were somewhere. They were somewhere. And the alms couldn't do it. The Bible reading wasn't going to get it done. The praying wasn't going to get it done. The giving wasn't going to get it done. But one day, the Holy Ghost passed by. And God opened them eyes.
Yes, sir.
And you saw it like you never saw it.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And you believed it like you never believed it.
Yes,
and it made reading your Bible different. And it made praying different. It made life different. Amen. And you got up from there. And the first thing you want to do is, man, dig into this thing and find out what God just did. And God made a belief right of you. God gave you some of His faith to believe what Jesus had done. And the next thing you know, you was praising God. You were telling people what God done for you. You were rejoicing down on the inside. I say you should never stop. Keep rejoicing. Keep believing. Keep living that life. Say, preacher, I got a problem. I know. But that problem is on the cross. That's God's answer. That's God's remedy. That's God's deliverance. He's nailed to a cross somewhere. Man. When Jesus died, I died. I just never seen it. Never seen it. About 33 years ago. I heard it. I believed it. But about 33 years ago, my eyes was opened. And I saw it like I never saw it. I saw me like I never saw me. When God opened my eyes, He let me see some of me. As much of me as I could possibly handle at the moment. I had to compare myself to a woman, but it's sort of like that woman over at the well. Amen. Amen, son. I'm telling you, God let me see me. He let me see my sins. He let me see myself as a sinner. Thank God I left that well and I went and told people, come see a man, which told me all things that ever I did. You say, what is happening? She went back to town praising God for what she done.
Right.
She praised Him. You know why? Because she believed Him. She believed His words and she went home rejoicing in the Lord. That's where we need to be. We need to believe Him. If you'll believe Him, you'll rejoice.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing how when God opened your eyes, the joy that flooded your heart, the peace that flooded your soul. Isn't it amazing? Ain't that amazing? Isn't it amazing how praise stepped in when your eyes were opened? It's amazing. Why? Why did that happen? Because you believed. For the first time in your life, like you never believed. You believed. You know what my wife done? She got up off her knees and she called her husband. What was she doing? She was praising the Lord. I got off the phone and I went, well, praise God, man. In my heart, in my mind, I'm going, man, I hope this is legit. I hope this is good. I hope this sticks. Well, man, I was so excited. I said, I'm going to go home and do my devil best to tick her off and see how she reacts. Yeah, I do stuff like that all the time. I just try to make people mad to see how they react. I don't have a problem with it. That's only half of it. Your salvation and what happened there, that's only half of the things that God's done right there. It's only half of it. I mean, just think, Miss Stephanie. Who's happy they saved? I mean, really happy. Come on, somebody really happy. Salvation is enough. That would be good, wouldn't it? If God just saved me and left me alone, wouldn't that be good? I mean, really, man, if we didn't get over our salvation, if that salvation didn't get stagnant or stale or old to us, and it just stayed, man, my goodness, wouldn't that be enough? And God said, no, that's not enough. That's life. I came that you might have life. That's the life of it. Oh, but I came for another reason, that you might have that more abundantly. There's a second part, that abundant life. Amen.
That's right.
Man, God's so good to us. Are you kidding me? God's so good to us. I mean, we deserve to be in hell. But God saved us. God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What a Savior. And God said, I'm not just going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take care of that sin that's living on the inside of you. I'm going to deliver you from that sucker. I'm going to give you power to overcome him. I'm going to help you. Listen, you can walk in the Spirit all the days of your life. You don't just have to go through this life and go, well, I'm going to heaven one day. I get to go to heaven. Oh, no, friend, there's an abundant life today, praise God. Most Baptists, all they have is a ticket punch to heaven. That's all they do have, folks. We've reduced our Bible down to a thing to where all you got to do is get saved. That's all people focus on, just getting saved. And that's a wonderful thing to focus on. But there's so much more after you get saved. You're going to run into that old man pretty soon. You're going to run into that sinner pretty soon. You say, how do I deal with a sinner? Know this. Know this. That's what we said a while ago. Knowing this. The old man is crucified. You better know that. You better know that sucker is crucified.
Right.
That's one of the first keys to every bit of this. Getting that down pat. Getting that settled. Having that on your mind that you know. I know that sucker is dead. We're offered a deliverance, ladies and gentlemen, from sin by the same grace that we're offered forgiveness of sins. Are you listening? Amen. We're offered deliverance from sin by the same grace that forgave us of our sins. That same grace that God had on us to forgive you of your sins is the same grace that God will deliver you from that sinner.
That's right.
Same grace. God's way of deliverance just ain't our way. I'm going to quit very soon. God's way of deliverance is not our way. Sometimes I wished it was, don't you? Let me ask you a question. The question just popped in my mind, so let me spit it out. How many of you has ever, just be honest, okay, because we're all humans, we're all in this thing together. How many of you has ever asked for deliverance over something in your life and not found deliverance? Anybody? Has anybody ever had a sin in their life and you've asked God, God, would you give me deliverance of this? And you find yourself in that sin again. Yeah, thank you. David raised Michael's hand. David knows better.
David said, raise your hand, Daddy.
I live with you. Because, listen, we've asked God for deliverance. God's way of deliverance is not our way of being delivered. God's way of doing that is not our way of doing it. We think God needs to give us the power to overcome these things. That's a grief to a holy God when we think like that. That's not God's idea. That's not God's way. We need to, oh God, strengthen me. You wouldn't dare ask God to give you the strength to sit in this building tonight while you're sitting in this building. You just came in here to sit in this building. How many of you stopped and said, man, I need strength to be in here. I don't think I can be in here. It's the same exact principle. You shouldn't even waste time asking God to strengthen you in those areas of your life. It's crazy to go to God like that. I've done it many a times. But when you start reading this Bible and you start seeing this thing for what it says and you actually believe it, you'll start saying, I have grieved my God 1,000 times by praying some of the stuff that I've prayed. And I thought I knew how to pray. And now here I am 30-some years later, question, do I know anything? I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to preach. I don't know how to help nobody. If I could just get out of bed in the morning, get my breeches on, and tie my own shoes, I'm doing pretty doggone good. I've just about give up on me. God's way of deliverance ain't our way. We try to suppress our sins or our problems, our little, whatever we call them. We try to suppress it by seeking to overcome it. We want to overcome these sins. And we seek a way to overcome these sins. We seek a way to overcome these shortcomings. You know what God's method is for overcoming sin? To remove the sinner. God's method is just get the sinner out of the way. And how did God get the sinner out of the way? Huh? Crucified him. He hung that sucker on the cross with him. You see why I'm saying how absurd some of them prayers can be when you start seeing these scriptures for what they're saying? I'll go further. Don't answer me. I've asked for answers tonight. This is one that might be too personal. I don't want you to answer. How many of you has ever grieved down deep on the inside over your weakness? We all have weaknesses. Your weakness may not be mine. Mine may not be yours. We all can have our own different kinds. But we all have got weaknesses. And there's been times, Brother Carl, I'll stand up here in my glass bubble and I'll be honest with you and I'll tell you, son, I have grieved over my weaknesses. It's been a grief to me.
Right.
I mean, it's been just an utter grief.
That's right.
There's been times where I've sat down there and contemplated some of the stupidest and worst and most absurd things, man, just because of my weaknesses. There's been times where I've decided I was just going to step out of the pulpit because of my weaknesses.
So Lord, I don't deserve to be in no pulpit. I don't deserve to be pastoring the church. I'm going to sit down and you go home sometime Sunday and Monday, and you're in some of the deepest, darkest places in your mind because you ain't thinking right.
It's amazing you can leave the house of God and go sit in a dark place and all the lights in the house be on. You're in a dark place. You can be grieved over the weaknesses. You can be grieved over your failures. You can be grieved. Right now, Brother Zach, would be a good time to have one of them on that piano playing some of that music like they do at them gentlemen club churches. I listened to a little bit. Probably about that far from being a queer. Listened to him for about 2 minutes today, and I felt like I was going to puke my lunch up. I kind of liked what I ate, and I wanted to keep it. I had them purple and whatever, like, you know, them gentlemen club lights inside the churches today. Hey, look at me real good. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. If they got lights like that there at the gentlemen's club, I don't want them near my church. If they play music like that down there at that nightclub, I don't want that music at the church. I don't want to be conformed to this world. If the men are running around with tattoos all over this world, I don't want to run around with them tattoos. I don't want to be conformed to this world. Right. If ever man in the world went and got a tattoo, a queer ring, if every one of them went and got a queer ring, I don't want to get me a queer ring. Because I don't want to be conformed to this world. I stay away from things that, them churches that conform to this world.
I was thinking about it coming down the road, and I want to thank y'all
for being the way y'all are. That this church here, we don't put the emphasis on the building, but we don't put the emphasis on the lighting, we don't put the emphasis on the music, we put the emphasis on the Word of God.
Right.
I know a lot of people say that, but a lot of people don't live that. We live that around here, praise God. We ain't got the strobe lights, we ain't got the little contemporary music, we ain't got the little, what Brother John call it, the urinal music, we got the hymnals. Amen. I go stand in them urinals and I think about them little queer churches. I almost come in here tonight and preach that guy's message to y'all, the 2 minutes, see if I couldn't get y'all to puke too. Hey, you're God's people. God loves you. No, he didn't say it like that. He had a cadence, man. It was all together just queer. I'm glad I can't talk like he talks.
Special people.
Yeah. I went, my God, if I told my people that, it would offend them because they really are special. They all have special needs. They're all a little touched. Come to our church and say that, he's going to leave with a black eye. Picking on my people. God. Have you ever asked God for strength? I don't answer that. Listen, just try to get this and I'm going to shut up. Have you ever asked God for strength? It doesn't seem like a bad thing to ask for. But that is not God's way of deliverance. That's a grief to God. See, because if God will give me the strength, I can overcome this. That's a grief to God. We may not think of it like that, but psychologically down in there, Michael, we're putting that hope in us. We want this because there's some hope in us that we can do this if God would give us a little strength. You couldn't do it if God gave. He doesn't give y'all the strength you need, and you're still struggling. But I hope we can see it in a different way.
If we think that we were stronger, we feel like if we were stronger, we could control our tempers. If we were stronger, maybe I wouldn't have as many outbursts. If I was a little bit stronger, I probably wouldn't click them buttons. There's a lot of people that feels like, man, if I was a little stronger, if God would give me strength to overcome these buttons, I wouldn't press them no more. There's just a lot of people that has that mentality. And you know what, Brother Zach? They ask God for strength. And you know what they do? They go back and click them buttons. You know why? Because God ain't going to give them the strength to overcome them buttons. He's not going to give them some kind of special strength for that. That's not how God delivers. Somebody tell me, how does God deliver? Through Calvary.
Right.
Deliverance is already done. We just ain't believed it. We still believe we need some power, some strength, some help, and we can do this. Can't do it. If you ain't going to do it through Calvary, you ain't going to do it. That's God's way, and that's the only way God will provide. That's it. God's not going to make up a special 12-step program for me or for you. No. Calvary is it. That's all we get. That's settled it right there. That done it. That's God's way. Either take Calvary or don't. God's way is not to make you stronger. God's way is to make... You might remember. God's way is to make you weaker and weaker. God wants you to be as weak as you can be. God don't want to strengthen you. God wants to weaken you. God don't want to strengthen you, Miss Amber. God wants to weaken you. God wants to make you weaker and weaker and weaker. You know what God likes? He likes it when we come like little children. You know what little children just say? My daddy's the strongest man in the world.
Whether that sucker was or not,
I had man convinced that I've marched a 70-mile march. I fought in Corregidor. Me and Jonathan Wainwright was like that. MacArthur and I, we piled up together. I had my kids believing all that stuff when I was a kid. They thought I was a war hero. You say, Pastor, you lied like a dog, son, like a dog. I said, the little dummies, they will never know the difference. They found out about
what?
Daddy, you was lying. Go with me real quick. Let's look at this so you can get this under your belt. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I want you to listen to God's method. Verse 1 through 10 said, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Son, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth, such an one caught up to the third heaven. Here's a man that God took from this world and caught him up to the third heaven. Glory to God. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory. But in mine, listen to what Paul said. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. How many of you has come to church and made a special prayer request, not asking for anything, but just going, hey, I tell you what, I want y'all to join me in prayer, and I want to praise God for the infirmities in my life. That ain't our method.
Our method is, God, help me overcome these infirmities. Paul said, I'm going to glory in them infirmities. And if we look at this thing like Paul does, we'll learn to glory in them infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was, listen to this, Brother Carl, there was given me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Y'all ever felt like, man, if the devil would just get off of me, I'd be all right. God might have been the one to send that devil over there and beat you down. God will take the... God will use the devil to beat you down. God will use the devil in your life to humble you.
That's right.
We're all the time trying to blame stuff on. That might have been God. We call God the devil and the devil God so many times. It might have been God sending that messenger of Satan over there to buffet you. What is that? To bruise you, to wound you, to hurt you, to humble you, to break you down, to weaken you a little bit. Yeah. God ain't trying to produce strength in your life like that. He's trying to produce weakness. He sent the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord. I prayed, and I prayed again, and I prayed again. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Oh God, let this go. Oh God, let this go. Lord, let go of this. Get rid of this thorn in my flesh. Get rid of this infirmity. God, deliver me from this. And he said unto me, hey, Paul, Carl, David, Michael, all of you, my grace is sufficient for thee. The same grace that saved you is the same grace that'll get you through them infirmities. His grace is sufficient in those infirmities. And if you learn to appropriate the grace of God in those infirmities, you'll come through the other side of that infirmity and you'll say, I just want to say praise God. Preacher, let me testify. I want to brag on God. I want to thank Him for the infirmities in my life. Preacher, pray for me that I can overcome. No, man. No. You'll come to church thanking God for them problems. You say, why? Hold on. Hold on. My grace is sufficient for thee. Look at what he said. Somebody read that while I'm running. I mean, read that loud.
For my strength is made perfect.
Woo! For my strength. For my strength. For my strength. The strength of God, the strength of Christ, the power of God is made perfect. It's made perfect. It's made perfect. Not in your strength, not in your might, not in your abilities. But glory to God, God's power, God's strength, God's might. God is made perfect in your weakness. God wants you weak.
Right.
So He can be made perfect in that in you. Ain't that wonderful? Won't you go back home and say, God, weaken me. Lord, I got these infirmities. I got this old man tagging on. I got this. I got these little, what did we call them all ago? I got these little weaknesses in my life. Lord, would you pour them on? Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for these weaknesses. Thank you, Lord, for these infirmities. Thank God. Lord, would you break me all the way down so that your strength can be made perfect in my little weakness? Man, you know who's going to get the glory out of your deliverance? It won't be you for being strong, but it'll all be God who deserves it.
That's right.
Amen. And I tell you, you can learn how to glory in your infirmities instead of cry and whine and pray and grieve God. That's right. Here's one thing I believe, Miss Amber. I believe we need to look our problems in the eyes every once in a while and say, praise God.
Try it.
Preacher, you're nuts. Try it before you condemn me. Try it before you just throw me out to the wolves. Go look at some of them problems. Sit down tonight and consider your problems in life. Get on your face before God and start praising God for them problems. You know what'll happen? If you're not real careful, God'll start getting real big and them problems will start dissipating. Yeah. Praise will help you in them problems. More than whining for strength.
Right.
He said, preacher, that's crazy. Why don't the just live by faith anymore, Michael? Why don't the just live by faith no more? Why can't we just take and praise God on faith anymore? Why can't we just praise Him for what we believe He's going to do based on the Word of God? Why can't we just praise Him for what the Bible says, no matter what we think we're going through? That's living by faith, Brother Zach. When you're in that dark pit down there, praise God, and you're overtaken by your weaknesses, why don't you learn how to just lean on, look unto Him? Yeah. All them scriptures tie in. He said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. My pastor said, you know what? He said, I take glory in 2 scoops of Breyers ice cream. I take glory in a good meal. But you know what Paul said? I take glory in my infirmities. God's way ain't our way, buddy. It just ain't.
Right.
Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory my infirmities. Why, Paul? Why? That the power of Christ might rest upon me.
Right.
You want the power of God on your life? You don't have to go to God and ask for it. Just do this thing right. Believe God. Believe Him. Take Him at His word. And the power of Christ is going to rest. What is that, preach? That's a Spirit-filled life. He said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. When I am weak, then am I strong. God, don't strengthen me, weaken me. Praise God. Because if we get strength, that's when we get weak in Him.
Right.
But when we get weak in Him, that's when we get strong in Him. Wonderful. Ask God to weaken you some. Say, how so, preacher? With them infirmities. Oh, with them weaknesses. They'll weaken you. They'll weaken you. God's method is not by strengthening the old man, but by crucifying him, folks.
Right.
Not by helping him do anything. He's not going to help him do anything. What He's going to do is take him out of the way. He's going to remove him. He's going to kill that sucker. And that's what He done. And we need to know that. The answer is not do. Once again, my pastor said the answer is done. It ain't about what you can and can't do. It's about what Jesus done.
That's right.
That's where the answer lies, in what He done. Glory to God. You could be a spiritual Hercules and you'd still come short of the glory of God. But if you'd believe that it's not you, but Jesus that has already overcome, then you're going to find rest. You're going to find rest in Jesus. Folks, this is the Word of God. I tried my best to give you the Word of God tonight. I didn't try to twist it. I tried to make it as plain and understandable as possible. The Word of God. And if you'll believe it, you'll be like those children of Israel. You'll just praise Him. I'm going to ask you a question. And I promise you I'm done. Do you believe His Word? Do you believe His word?
If you'll believe it, you'll find that deliverance.
It's already there, folks. It ain't on the way. It's already there. You've got to believe it. You've got to know. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God. I want to thank you, Lord, for helping me tonight, Lord. I mean, Lord, you helped me tonight. I want to thank you for that. Lord, you touched me tonight, and I appreciate that. That helps me. God, you gave me some more understanding tonight. Now, I want to thank you for that. I want to bless your name tonight, dear God, for being so good, somebody such as I. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading, the teaching, and the preaching of your word in the hearts of these people tonight, God. We'll give you the praise and the honor and glory for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.